Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Thank you, sir. I'm so sorry it was so bad before I got here, but I'm doing what I can.
What are you talking about?
Our quip.
Say it again.
Our quip with the guy saying this is the greatest show that Kansas City's ever had.
Oh, he might be mistaken. We're going to be doing Marty Wall filling in today for Dana Wright. You may remember him from his days either here at KMBZ or at KY102.
Or you may not. And
or,
if you do,
you may not.
Please get a life. They're available readily.
We will be playing mixtape at 4:45 this afternoon. Your categories are as follows. The song that your significant other plays when he or she surprises you with a striptease. First time crowd surfing. Has to be a 90s Seattle song. And just when everything was going great, he or she just walks right in the door. You lock eyes. It's been over a year since that one night during the summer. What song fades into the scene?
Now, there's two ways that last category could go.
Yes, it could either go very happily, like, I really enjoyed our time together that one night, or I hate your guts. So,
it'll be fun to see what we pick.
By the way, did anybody see the picture of Dana in Knobnoster, Missouri,
mm-hmm.
at a Tesla filling station?
Mm-hmm.
Did we not charge the car before embarking on the road
trip? Is that a rhetorical question?
Great.
It is a rhetorical question.
Great question.
The obvious answer is we did not.
Yeah.
Or maybe it just needed a top off before heading down into rural
Dan,
Missouri.
She made it 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I did get a text from Chris Ketz earlier today. Have you seen her Facebook post? She's in Concordia. It says here Knobnoster, but whatever. At a Tesla supercharging station behind a barbecue off I-70. By the way, in the picture, she has an orange juice in her left hand and a bottle of champagne in her right.
Now, Mimosas. Wait a minute. She's going to the Ozarks and she took I-70?
Sam?
She's never going to get there.
Sam.
Sorry. I'll focus.
Now, you mentioned Concordia and barbecue. I think I've eaten there before. It's pretty good.
Ketz goes out of his way, or goes on to say, way out of her way. Translation, lost.
Oh.
She plugged in last night, but didn't hit start charge before going to bed. Rookie mistake, have a great show. I wrote, yeah. That's what happens.
So, GPS.
You gotta charge those cars.
Yeah.
Gotta charge that car. It is an age-old controversy. Peru's government claims a local farmer is 124 years old and should hold the title of world's oldest man over a 111-year-old English citizen who Guinness World Records bestowed the title to less than a week ago. Peruvian officials revealed that Marcelino Tolentino reportedly celebrated his 124th birthday. Why are you laughing? On April 5th.
I'm just wondering what celebrated meant.
Claiming the farmer was born in the year 1900, according to the UK Mirror. Tolentino was discovered in a tiny village in 2019, was granted a passport, a government-issued ID card, and a pension. Peru also revealed the supposed secret to how the centenarian keeps on moving. His diet consists of fruits and lamb meat.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing artificial down there.
And he enjoyed...
Except for his age.
Wow!
124?
You're not buying what he's selling.
No.
I'm going to look up oldest person that ever lived.
Also, how do you get to 124 without people realizing you're 120?
So what it's... Wait a minute. There's a discrepancy, right? We have one guy who says 124, and the other one is what?
Where's 111.
Yeah.
Well, that was only...
111 guy lives in England.
Only one way to solve that, of course, is... Cage match.
I agree.
To the death. I mean, what have they got to lose?
You're my boy, Blue.
To the death. They're already almost there.
To the death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oldest person ever known to have lived was Jean Calment of France, who lived to the age of 122 and 164 days.
And his diet was butter and cigarettes.
That's right.
That was a woman.
Oh, sorry.
The oldest verified man was Juramon Kimura of Japan, who lived to 116.
Well, I always love those interviews, you know, some ladies turning 104 years old. We asked her secret to living so long.
Whiskey and cigarettes.
In this one interview, this lady goes, "I drink 4 Dr. Peppers a day." It's like, really? That's your secret? Okay, all right.
And corn dogs.
I'll have a Dr. Pepper, please.
She started drinking Dr. Pepper when it was still considered medicinal.
She invented Dr. Pepper.
That's the name.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. Okay, it says here, Tolentino, if it is confirmed that he is actually 124, would dethrone the current record holder. See, this doesn't make any sense. John Tenniswood from England, who earned the title after the death of 114-year-old Juan Perez.
This is killing me.
Who cares?
Look at this. I'm sorry. Little inside baseball here, though. But Scott and I, 100 years ago, both worked for the same guy. He's listening right now, Bob Schulte. And people used to give Bob so much trouble because he would come in the morning and he would open up the paper and essentially start reading it, which is essentially what you're doing right now.
I read the news, Marty. That's what I do for a living.
But when it comes to taking the throne for the world's oldest man, don't we need some sort of documented birth record? I know records get lost, and you're 178 years old. Just ask him.
What do you mean? How do they get lost?
I don't know what happened 124 years ago.
Well, I'm sure they kept records.
I know. So I feel like if you're going to get that Guinness Book of World Records, which, by the way, it's not like it's something you can hold on to because you're dead, you need to have a birth certificate that we can go back and reference. I need something that says I was born in 1900.
Yeah, but in some of these, I just read another story about these guys. And in some of these places, in these rural provinces in China or whatever, I mean, those records are not exactly, you know, there's a lot of, the veracity is a little hard to.
I'm sorry, you don't
then
qualify.
Then you don't count. That's right. Then you don't count.
You guys are harsh. It's Friday.
You want me to take your word that you're 124 years old? Nobody lives to be 120.
Well, it's like the lady who claimed
to.
It's like the lady who claimed her chihuahua was 38 years old. Yeah, right. No chihuahua's ever lived to be 38 years old.
No dog has lived to be 38 years old. I mean, my dog is 14 and she's hanging by a thread.
My dog just died just shy of 20.
Oh,
that's something.
Sorry to hear
that. Hey, I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you.
Are you
well, not
kidding?
Just died. I mean, it was about 4 months ago, but 5 months ago, I guess. Yeah, dachshund, long-haired dachshund, miniature dachshund.
Lived to be these, 20 years old?
These dogs are so pampered, it's not even funny. So, you know, the best medical care, the best food, the best everything, and a lot of love.
Did you give them the farmer's dog diet?
No, but every other kind of expensive everything and all the food that's still sitting in the basement that never got used.
Did you have to put the dog down?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Did you stay with him or her?
Oh, yes.
See, some people won't, and I know, I know that Stella is not going to see the end of 2024. Right. And it breaks my heart. It just, I mean, this dog has seen me at my best and has seen me at my worst. And I have vowed that when it's time to put her down, I will not leave her side. I will stay with her as she takes her last breath. And yeah. It's going to crush me.
Oh, it's the worst. But you do. You owe it to the dog. I mean, it's some people are, hey, a dog's a dog. But you. That emotional bond. And speaking of which, you know, if you really think that way about pets, be around a pet or hear stories about someone who's around a pet when they have a, let's say, a terminal illness or a really serious illness. The behavior of these pets, dogs in particular, becomes... It's something remarkable. I mean, they know.
When you're suffering.
Yeah. And they are there to alleviate it. It's in their DNA. It's written over the eons.
The age-old theory that they can smell cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they can feel your pain, right? And so, yes, Texter, Stella has been with me during all of my marriages. even the one that didn't last very long.
Wow. How do your knees feel?
Broken.
But you need like the marriage bad relationship detector dog. Screw the illness detector dog. It's like a bomb sniffing dog.
Don't do it. Don't do it, Scott. Okay, Stella, I won't.
If that head tilts, you run away.
No, but so I have a friend in my neighborhood, and somebody says, "What's up with Stella?" Well, she's 14, and she's a big dog. She's a black lab. And she's 14. She's just getting old. And, you know, my oldest daughter was over this morning. We do Pancake Friday every Friday. And she's like, man, Stella's looking rough. And I said, I know, sweetheart. And, you know, we've had this dog since she was 9 or 8. And I said, time is running out. And you just need to start preparing yourself for that. And, I said, but she's had a good life. And, you know, she's been with you. She's been with me. But we had a friend. I have a friend in my neighborhood. They had a guy come over. Their dog died, Spike. And they had the dog put down in their home.
We've done that, too, with another one.
I don't know that I could do that.
Yeah, we had this woman come over. And, I mean, she was supposed to be, I guess, an expert in all this stuff. And, I don't know. She laid it on a little heavy for us. Like, okay, and so now I think he's ready to cross the rainbow bridge.
Okay,
are you sure you're ready? He's like, do it. Just get it over with.
She's just like tapping the needle.
Know that it will be better with the unicorns in doggy land or whatever the hell. He's like, God, get out of my house.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But you had a dog put down in your home?
Yes.
So when you go by that part of the house where the dog was last?
Tore that part of the house clean off the house about three years ago.
And that's why I wouldn't
do
it.
That helps. Yeah.
That's why I couldn't do it.
Yep.
Because, you know, like, let's say we did it in the living room or in the kitchen or whatever.
I'm just thinking about what if somebody just heard... just turned the radio
on the island next to the stove.
Right next to the microwave.
Let's say we did.
Doggy's done.
Doggy's done. Get out.
Let's say we did it in the living room. I mean, it's Friday.
To the texter who goes, I just got in my car and we're talking about dying dogs. We weren't trying to bring you down, brother.
We switched topics quickly.
Well, at first we were talking about dying people. Do you want to go back to that?
Yeah, well, we are in a minute because I'm going to mention a story here about OJ.
Oh. juice.
You know, it's weird. My oldest daughter was over. I told you guys this. She was over this morning, and she was working from my house. And, you know, I spend way too much time, an inordinate amount of time, watching cable news in the morning. And Sarah says to me, she says, where are the stories on OJ? I said, well, baby, he died 2 days ago. And she goes, so he's yesterday's news? And I'm like, kinda. I don't want to sound like I don't care. But yeah, he's kind of like yesterday's news. But how a 22-year-old girl knows who OJ Simpson is when that trial occurred before she was ever born, years before she was ever born, keep in mind that trial was 29 years ago.
I was on the air during the chase.
Happened three years before I blessed this earth.
Wow. Started doing play-by-play, making fun of it even when it was happening. You know, the white Bronco, all that stuff.
I can still remember I was living with my brother in Lawrence in a townhouse in South Lawrence, and we were watching the basketball game. Sam, can you bring that up? Because it was really weird, and I forgot how weird it was when Marv Albert throws it to Tom Brokaw, who talks about the chase, and then throws it right back to Marv Albert. It's like, what? This is like the biggest story in America. And Tom Brokaw gets like 30 seconds and just goes, all right, Marv, back to you now with the NBA playoffs. My brother and I were watching the playoffs when it was Houston and the Knicks, if I'm not mistaken. And Marv Albert just says, well, we have some breaking news here.
In this first half, we will set it to NBC News. Here's Tom Brokaw.
Thank you, Marv. We are looking once again at pictures of Al Cowling's car as it makes its way along a freeway in Los Angeles in the south central part of that area. And we are told by the California Highway Patrol that O.J. Simpson is in that car holding a gun to his head. He has been in touch with a police highway dispatcher saying he wants to be taken to his mother. He wants to see her. But we don't know what the resolution of all of this will be. There are 9 black and whites, most of them from the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, and at least one police helicopter following at this time. Al Cowlings, we're told, is driving. O.J. Simpson is in the back seat with a gun at his head. They fled earlier today when Simpson realized he was about to be arrested for the murder of his ex-wife and the young man who was with him at the time. So now the situation has taken an even more bizarre step as we watch on live television O.J. Simpson negotiating with a police dispatcher being followed down a closed freeway by 9 sheriff's deputies and most of the Los Angeles news media. Back to you, Marv.
Yes!
Thank you, Tom. Obviously.
Yes! Got a whole 65 seconds for the biggest story in the country.
And John Starks for 3, and it's good!
Yes! And it counts!
Since O.J. Simpson, seriously, who wrote this story?
I don't know.
This has to be the New York Post.
Oh, that's from CBS News.
That's a safe answer.
No way.
It's from their newsliners.
Okay. Try not to laugh, Marty. Since O.J. Simpson won't be needing his brain anymore. What? Seriously?
That's the Post. That's not CBS.
Researchers are hoping that his family will donate his brain to science. Boston University CTE Center would... I can't.
I have no idea who wrote it. All I did was click copy and then paste.
Boston University CTE Center would consider it the Heisman Trophy of clinical samples. Come on, guys. They believe that OJ's years of getting banged around on the football field could explain the violent behavior that he was accused of before he got tried for killing his wife and Ron Goldman.
That's interesting. I mean, that is interesting.
It is an interesting snippet, I will say.
I actually do hope that they donate his brain. I wouldn't be shocked if he had CTE.
Who? No, certainly not.
This guy played for, what, 10 seasons in the NFL?
Not to mention the way running backs were beat up back in the day.
And the helmets that they wore.
And the fact that you'd go right back in after, you know, you have a concussion, you're still playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was something, let's face it, it all became much larger than reality at some point. It became not about what had happened. It became obfuscated by media. It was confusing. There were racial issues, et cetera. And everything. But at the end of the day, didn't all of us say, how's that dude we used to see running through airports and doing color on the sidelines of NFL games and being in movies and variety shows and everything? It just never squared. It really was that monster, you know, living there, or guess he, you know, wasn't a monster because obviously he was acquitted in a criminal case, but then found liable in a civil case. It was just, I know we all yucked about it and there were a million jokes, but man, there was something unsettling about the whole deal at the end of the day.
Well, he was a darling.
Certainly.
Not only in American football, and somebody on the text line had a great point. everybody knows about O.J. Simpson. Scott, you know about World War II and you weren't alive. That's true. But how does the younger generation think of O.J. Simpson? Is he a football player, a football great, or is he just an actor and a pitch man? And the younger generation, people like my daughters, would think of O.J. as a pitch man and an actor.
Well, it's funny you say that because I didn't know him. I didn't know that he was a pitch man nor an actor. I knew that he was a football player that did something really bad that made him a national news story in 1994.
So you didn't think of him
as very slowly.
Because Marty just mentioned it.
Or writing
he was famous for running through airports as a Hertz rental car pitch man.
I mean, I had
and
seen.
And he would hurdle the seats in the airport. And then, of course, he was in the
Naked Gun.
Naked Gun. Thank you. I was going to say Top Gun. Of course, that's not right. He was in all the Naked Gun movies. And
I had seen the videos on YouTube, and I probably drew that correlation at some point in my life. But in my mind's eye, he was a football player who did something really bad.
Huh.
And prior to yesterday, I could not have readily told you what team he played for.
He played for the Buffalo Bills and then ended his career with the 49ers.
Yeah.
It literally would be like Tom Brokaw saying, Kathy Lee Gifford arrested today for triple murder. I mean, he was, America's darling. Everybody loved him. Mm-hmm. And you could have never imagined he would do something like that. But I would ask you, too, how does the younger America view him now? Hell, how does everybody view him? Because, again, you have this juxtaposition
yep.
of a criminal acquittal and a civil conviction. He was held liable for the deaths and yet was acquitted of their murder. And it doesn't matter, I suppose, but how do we view it? I know what I think, but what do people,
well, what do you
know
think?
What I mean? Oh, I think he killed him.
Of course he did.
So, but, I do have faith in our justice system.
And see, I'm too young to remember O.J. I know we're way late on the break. Sorry, Sam. I'm too young to remember O.J. as a football player. But I certainly remember him from the Hertz rental car commercials, obviously the Naked Gun movies, which I thought were absolutely stupid funny. And then, of course, I recognize him as a man that I think killed two people in cold blood. But to me, O.J. Simpson is an actor and a pitchman.
And a fine actor.
He was a fine actor.
Dying dogs and murderers here on KMBZ.
Happy Friday.
Festivus Friday, by the way, coming up right after the 5 o'clock news. Mixtape at 4:45. Marty Wall filling in for Dana Wright. The telephone number is 913-586-7798.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're not a sports station. We don't break down the games. But there's a huge game tomorrow night at Arrowhead Stadium that I will be taking the kids to as the second greatest soccer player in history plays tomorrow in Kansas City.
You say ooh. Mark. Well, I mean, Pele.
Pele's number one.
And Messi.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sorry.
And then Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay. I mean, when you become the verb of the zenith of the sport, the pinnacle of the sport, you are the best athlete, I would argue, of all time, not just in soccer.
You would argue that Pelé is the greatest athlete of all time?
He is in the dictionary as a verb, or not verb, adjective. The Pelé of a sport means the best of that sport.
It's hard to argue a larger global effect. Seriously, just try to name anybody that tops it. Because
maybe Michael Jordan, but maybe.
But he owned Latin America.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was gigantic in Europe because they were such football-loving people. And and then we were aware of him. He comes to the Cosmos, right?
Was my New York Cosmos, yeah. That's right.
And so, but he was on our radar. And while we sort of dominate world culture,
or we think we do,
or world media and that kind of thing. I mean, because there's nothing compared
we're
to what
Americans,
right?
What Pelé was globally. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Also, an actor, by the way. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Was he in Naked Gun too?
No.
Did not murder his ex-wife.
Did not murder his ex-wife or her friend. That's right. No, there is a movie.
Allegedly.
I'm not kidding you. If you ever get to take this movie in, I first saw it when I was a kid, a teenager. There's a movie called Victory with Pelé.
I think I remember that.
Can you remember who the other two major stars are? Michael Caine. And Sylvester Stallone.
Right. I didn't remember the Stallone thing. I remember the Caine thing.
Yep. And yes, I'm aware that Robert McNeil died. Yes. Thank you.
I didn't know if we had mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned it, but it happened earlier. I was going to mention it after 4 o'clock. But
sorry.
Continue. Thank you for stealing the thunder. That's okay.
Well, he didn't say it. You said it.
Well, he said it in my ear.
You don't have to repeat it.
Well, you're right. Thank you, Marty.
Just trying to help you here.
Somebody says,
"See, the way it works is that guy says stuff in your ear. The radio doesn't hear it. This just in."
Smart Alec.
Anyway, so Messi is coming to Arrowhead on Saturday.
No, very excited. I'm very excited. So Miami play, but here's the thing. I love sporting. It really bothers me that this game is at Arrowhead. A, the field is too small. And B, I love the intimacy of Sporting Park.
It's such a great place.
But can you imagine the cost of those tickets at Children's Mercy Park?
Yeah, I pay them.
Well, no, but I mean for the people getting
For extra tickets. Yeah. Well, there aren't. I mean, like 80% of the seats at Sporting Park are season ticket holders.
Yeah. They were just trying to cash in.
Well, and I don't blame them. And when you have such an international superstar like Lionel Messi coming into town. Parking, by the way, $50 tomorrow.
Cheaper than a Chiefs game.
$50.
So, did you see the deal where if you wear, you can't wear any opposing colors in the supporters section? You can't. Did you see that in the release about this?
No.
Yeah. Fans who wear opposing colors will not be allowed in the supporters section. I'm like, how great is that?
I mean, that's really common, though. Like at Children's Mercy Park, if you try to walk into the cauldron with the opposing team's stuff on,
then
you
you're
will
asking
be,
for trouble.
Yeah.
Well, you know why?
And thrown out.
Why doesn't every other professional sport do that? How great is that? Of course, the answer is dollar signs because the ticket goes to the highest bidder. But man, how awesome is that? It's like collegiate.
I'm looking through the rules for tomorrow night, and I don't see that.
It was on the link you sent me today.
Wearing obscene or indecent clothing is not allowed.
No, it was there. Whatever you had me click on.
Why didn't make
supporters
you,
will
didn't
not
make
be
you click on anything.
I didn't make me, but I mean the thing you gave me to do this show prep. Can you see quotations flying through the transmitter there? Show prep. Anyway, whatever thing I clicked said that the supporters would not be allowed wearing other colors, and that's fantastic.
I love that. And does it say where the supporter section is?
It does not.
I guess he's got to find the other bit of information.
Well, it's a it's a 5-page story.
It is.
I'm going through it as fast as I can.
It would be a story.
It's the end zone again, like it would be at Children's Mercy, right?
Yeah, I would assume.
I would think so.
The cauldron would be in the end zone.
Boy, how great, you know.
Oh, no. Oh, here it is. You're right. It's on the first page. Of course. Other team gear or colors are not permitted in the supporters section. Fans will not be allowed into the supporters section wearing any of these items.
Damn straight. You think about, like, did you get a chance to go any of the World Series games in 14 or 15?
No, I didn't.
I went to the Super Bowl this year as well. I went to those 14 and 15 games. There, yes, happily. We're season ticket holders for the Royals, so I'm the
bragger,
and I'm just a huge fan since I was a kid. It's my deal. But people told me, be ready. It's going to be different because so many tickets at those biggest events are held by people who have no skin in the game. Mm. And boy, you could see it at the Super Bowl big time. I mean, even though there were far more, and we're not going to go back and talk about January again, although who the hell doesn't want to talk about the Super Bowl? Actually, February. But it had a different vibe. Even though there were more Niner fans there, it just wasn't the same because there were a lot of people with no dog in the hunt. There were six seats next to us.
I saw Raiders jerseys.
With nobody there for most of the game. They were occupied by people who had been in a Bud Light commercial. And so they were given the spiff of going to the suite and sitting with I don't know who. And then they came and watched some of the game and they were barely paying attention. And, you know, no, if you're not wearing my colors, you're not in my stadium. Love that.
I do think that they should crack down on that for the Super Bowl because there are a lot of fans, I will raise my hand right here, who would definitely love to go to something like that and can't even remotely think about affording it because they're $7,200 for a nosebleed.
But for a lot of the people that go to games of that magnitude, and maybe even the game tomorrow with Messi, right? You're not there. Let me backtrack. Let me take that back. A lot of people are there to cheer on their team. I'll be wearing sporting gear tomorrow. The kids will be wearing our scarves and everything. I have no doubt, though, that there will be people who travel in from Chicago or from Omaha, Nebraska, or Denver, Colorado, Oklahoma City, who don't have a dog in the fight, who are just there to say
I saw
that
Messi.
They were there, that I was in the same building as Lionel Messi.
Right.
Not unlike when you're at the Super Bowl, Marty. You know, you're there to cheer on the Chiefs. That's your jam. That's your team. But a lot of people are just there to say, I was at the Super Bowl.
Well, arguably, we were there to say we were at the Super Bowl. This is my wife drove that bus for the most part. You know, in this business, I was blessed for so many years. I was on the floor for multiple Final Fours. I've been on the field for All-Star games in Chicago. A bunch of stuff when I was working in the business. So it means a little bit less to me. It was the ultimate e-ticket for her. I mean, it was the greatest thing ever. And a lot of it was because we could go watch the Chiefs anywhere. But to watch the Chiefs on the biggest stage with all that hoo-ha around and everything was a big deal.
Well, I remember like 10 years ago, Dana and Sam, your predecessor, Rod, Dana and Rod and I and Chris Ketz went and saw Paul McCartney when he was at what was then Sprint Center, now T-Mobile. And I like the Beatles, but I think I have one record and it's a best of, right? I don't have Revolver. I don't have Sgt. Pepper. I don't have any of those records.
I can't talk to you anymore.
That's okay.
Been good to be here, guys.
All right,
we'll see.
Great. We'll talk about Thin Lizzy when we get back. but I remember shouting out at least three times during that show, I'm in the same room as a Beatle.
Yeah.
For me, it was just to say that I was in the same venue as somebody as critically important to music that I love, even though I like the Beatles, but I'm not a huge Beatles fan. But just to say that I was in the same room as Paul McCartney was good enough for me. And the same with Bruce Springsteen. Here, you're going to kick me out again. Kick me out of my own studio. I think I have three Bruce Springsteen CDs.
See, he's the same guy who's taken up all our tickets. You might as well be. This really bums me out.
I paid for him just as much as you did.
He's the enemy right there.
No, I'm not.
Real fans wanted to go see Bruce Springsteen. And there's Parks over there going, that's great. Look, there's Bruce.
I'm in the same room as Bruce Springsteen.
Take a selfie. Look, there's Bruce back there. I was here.
Where's all the fireworks?
There were no lasers. Like nobody was spitting blood.
Friend of mine's wife, when we were watching like a Chiefs playoff game one time, he's like, why do they keep falling down? Okay, well,
it's
beyond help. Can't help you there. Okay, you're a season ticket holder for Sporting.
Yeah.
It is a spectacular facility. I love it. I don't follow soccer.
Get out.
See, there we are. That's how it started.
You guys
anyway,
bare knuckle boxing in this second.
But get
or?
This. I just say I don't. You know, I don't have a passion for the game like I did in baseball. Tell me this about soccer though. What's up with the untimed end of the games? I've done public address out there, And I'm like, what? The clock's not working? We have no idea how much time is left? What is like that? What is that even about? That makes no sense. I'll tell you exactly what that is like. It's like being a husband. I know I'm supposed to do something or say something, but I have no idea what it is, and I don't know when I'm supposed to say it or do it.
Marty Wall filling in for Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ. Greatest band in rock and roll history.
Oh, we could go on and on. I'm telling you, I got no. I love Thin Lizzy. Cowboy Song is a spectacular song. Whiskey in the Jar.
Oh.
Whiskey in the Jar is such an oddly constructed song. If I was back on rock and roll radio, if I played it, I'd be talking about it. It's a weird, the meter doesn't match and everything, and it somehow works.
The greatest Thin Lizzy question, the song Jailbreak, where else would the jailbreak have happened? Because it's somewhere in this town.
No, he says, tonight there's going to be a jailbreak somewhere in this town.
Right. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be at the jail?
Uh-huh. So where else would the jailbreak happen?
Oh, I got a million of those. How about the Christmas classic from the Beach Boys, which features the refrain, Christmas comes this time each year. Yeah, can't argue with that.
Does.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
That's Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Christmas.
No, I've been a Thin Lizzy fanatic since I was a kid. And years ago, Johnny Dare was in Ireland, and Phil Lynott, who died in 86, sadly, his mother had written a book called My Boy, the story of Phil Lynott. And she was in some bar signing autographs of her book. And Johnny comes back from Ireland. He calls me on the phone. And he says, I need you in the studio, like, right now. I go, it's 9 in the morning. I don't normally get in until about noon. He goes, I need you in the studio now. And I'm like, okay. So I drive here to the building, go into the rock studio, and he hands me a copy of, her name was Philomena Lynott, Philomena Lynott's book, My Boy. And he goes, I bought this for you when I was in Ireland.
Lovely.
And I said, well, that's nice. I said, I already have it, and I've already read it. And he goes, you haven't read this copy. And I'm like, yeah, I have. This is the exact book that I have in my bookshelf. He goes, open it to page 3. And this was on the air. And I open it, and I started crying. And all it said was, thank you so much for loving my boy's music. Philomena Lynott. And I was like, oh, my God. You met Philomena Lynott? And he said, I did. And I told her you were the biggest Thin Lizzy fan I had ever met in my life. And I asked her to sign this book for you.
Wow, nice.
I was like, wow.
First nice thing Johnny's ever done.
Oh.
No, he is. What I was going to say is that guy's got a million stories. He's Mr. Humanitarian, you know, thing that he, like that he does. Anyway.
By the way, the stoppage time thing is because, and as much as I love soccer.
I know, but come on.
They flop a lot. You know that, Marty.
Yeah.
And so if they don't put stoppage time on, they'll just continue to flop. And so you add the time on at the end of the game to make up for the time that they're laying on the ground faking that they're hurt.
Yeah, they hold their ankle for about 45 seconds and then get up and run perfectly fine.
It's amazing. It's like a miracle. It's like Jesus.
Is it?
Amen.
Is it?
They rise from the dead. It's amazing.
That's when you know the game is over. They roll the stone away.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Exactly.
Hail Satan. Festivus Friday coming your way at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're doing mixtape at 4:45 today. We'll go over the categories here in just a moment. Marty Wall filling in today for Dana Wright. Here on Dana and Parks, Dan Weinbaum has the news coming up in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.